I too greet each one of you here this morning in Jesus' name. It's been a blessing so far to be gathered in the house of God, worshiping the one that is coming again. We do not know when that will be. And as we talked about in our Sunday school lesson, we know that there is two eternal destinations. And as Dave, I think, said in his prayer here, that we all be found there at that one place that we were looking at this morning in our Sunday school lesson. I, too, covet your prayers here this morning as I stand before you. In some ways, supposed to be taking Brother Cliff's place, and I don't feel exactly adequate to do that. He convinced me to do it last Saturday evening, and so I agreed to it. And just one thing I wanted to say in the outstart of the message, it does not really obtain at all to the message, and some of you were here Wednesday night as Cliff gave a little bit of a report on conference and being down there, and I appreciated his report, and I appreciated being at conference. And he said that the messages are online, and I just encourage you to listen to them. I especially just want to encourage you to listen to at least what they call the conference message. And this year it was preached by Brother Edwin Eby, and one of the bishops, and I, as far as I know, at least every time I've been to conference so far, it's been preached by one of the bishops. And I just was thinking about it. You know, all of us that we hold a job, and some of us who maybe work for larger businesses or companies, we may get together every once in a while and have safety meetings, or we may have meetings that the owner, the managers will sit down and say, this is where we want to go. This is what we want to do. This is what we sort of did wrong last year. This is where we want to go next year. And so far, at least, that's a little more what, as I view, the conference message. It's the bishops preaching their heart. This is where we want to go. And so if you don't get to listen to any of the other messages, at least try to go online or ask Brother Dave for one of those, for that CD of Brother Edwin's message there. And it's some good practical direction of where the bishops want to go. And I told one of the brethren here, I think it should be a mandatory that we all listen to it. And so anyway, that's just a little bit of encouragement on my part there. The message here this morning, I entitled The Surrender of My Will. And I was already working at this message. I'd been working at it a little bit for a while, had the idea for some time, and I was working on it after Cliff had talked to me there Saturday a week ago. And then I come here Wednesday evening, listen to Brother Sheldon's topic. I enjoyed that. And I was like, as I was sitting here listening, I was like, well, maybe we're going to cross over a little bit. And we might. We might cross over a little bit, but I think it was maybe also his topic was part of laying the foundational work for this message here this morning. Also, yeah, as I said, I covet your prayers because I feel this is the surrender of my will. I'm preaching to myself as well as I'm preaching to you. And also it's a topic or a subject that I feel can very quickly go deeper than my small mind can comprehend. As I studied into this, and I just wasn't sure exactly where to stop and start. And there's some things about my will versus God's will versus people's will that I'm not sure if I can exactly explain everything, but I do want to look at some simple truths. I want to make it hopefully elementary enough that at least some school-age children here this morning can understand parts of it, and the rest of us, hopefully we can take things away from here too that can better our lives and that we can put to practice in our daily walk. And as we think about will, the definition of will is the mental power by which a person decides or initiates action. It's a mental. A will is not something physical, and that's probably why it's the hardest, maybe a little difficult for me to exactly wrap my mind around it. It's because it is not something that I can, you know, get a hold of and say, "Here is my will. Here is your will." It's a mental power, and so that's where it can be a little difficult to actually mentally process that, because it is a mental power. So just in starting out here, I want to talk a little bit about there is will and then there is law. And Dave has already sort of introduced that thought as well. So we all know the difference between willingly doing something or doing it because there is law. And I just had to think of what we in America here, citizens, we abide by law. We get out on the turnpike. We go down the road. We're doing maybe 75 mile an hour, and we don't go much faster than that because if we do, we will get stopped or we'll get pulled over by a car with flashing lights. That is law. Now, you can do that, but you're breaking the law, but you're running the risk of receiving the consequences. That's also what makes us stop on red lights. It makes us why we go on green. That's why we don't break into the local convenience store and just take things off the shelf, walk out the door, because we know there is a law and there is consequences that are set in action, that if we cross that, we will receive the consequences. And that's a little more the way the people in the Old Testament would have lived. They would have lived by law. I mean, they were required to bring their animal sacrifices every year, multiple times, to offer for their sins. That's what kept them from stealing, cheating, taking things from their neighbors, because there was law, and there was the consequences for some of these things in the Old Testament law was very high, and it was God's way of keeping law and order. And it's a little hard for me to understand maybe exactly the Old Testament. Did they obey because of law, or did they obey because of will? But I think it was mainly they lived by the letter of the law. And that's why they live for God, or that's why they would bring their sacrifices and serve him in that way. In the old dispensation, the people were bound by the law. But we today now have a free will to choose. We can choose what we want to do. We can choose to accept Christ. We can choose to live for him daily. We can choose to steal. We can choose to cheat. We can choose to give in the offering on Sunday morning. We can choose to love our fellow brothers in church here. It's a choice. God has, in the new dispensation, God has given us the choice. He gave us a will that we can choose if we want to do it, if we don't want to do it. And God gives each one of us the free will of choice, but he asks that we would surrender our will. When we become a Christian, we ask Jesus to come into our heart and reign and have his way in our life. At this moment, we are surrendering our will to him. And so this word is a little harder maybe for me to wrap my mind around it or to explain it, but so we have the free will to choose to accept Jesus, but then as soon as we choose to accept him, we no longer have the free will, if you get my thought there. As soon as we accept him, then we're no longer have our own free will, but we are saying, by choosing to accept him, we're saying that I want Jesus in my life, and I am allowing you to reign or to take over my will, my thoughts, my desires, and do with them as you please. And that is very difficult for we as human and for our carnal bodies to do that. And I appreciate what Wayne said there this morning. It just kind of struck me that carnal is not a bad word. It just means that temporal, our temporal bodies, it's very difficult for our temporal bodies to do that. But surrender is a daily thing. We daily need to be sensitive to the Lord's will. We cannot just surrender our will on Sunday and come to church. Being sold out for Jesus is so much more than that. And I think we can all say that we would see that in some of so-called Christianity around us. They say, well, becoming a Christian, yes, they're going to give the Lord the first day of the week. They are willing to set aside one day out of the week. They'll go to church. They'll serve him that day. And they're even giving him the best, the first fruits, the first day of his week. They're worshiping him in that way. But then the rest of the week, they go out and do as they please. And that is not a fully surrendered will. Yes, it's giving some, it's giving maybe even the best or the first, but it's not letting Jesus have full control of our lives. It is every day that we need to be governed by his gentle leading in his direction. The surrender of my will, what takes the place of my will, what takes the place of my will that we are surrendering or giving up is a question I had thought about. What are we saying? What is taking that place? We're giving up the right to do what I, the big I, ourselves, what we want to do. And we see so much of that in today's society where it's all about me, it's all about I. We see and hear even less about thy will be done. It is our agenda, it's our time, it's our house, it's our family, it's our job. Why should one be telling us to surrender our will? Why should anyone be telling us to surrender to the Lord's will? The greatest example we have had here on earth is Jesus. And as I was thinking a little bit about somebody in the Bible who, I'm going to look at three different Bible accounts here this morning, and as I was thinking about somebody in the Bible who did not surrender their will, somebody who was asked to do something of God, but yet did not give that up, and my mind went first to Jonah. And you can turn in your Bibles to Jonah chapter 1. And I'd like to read the first chapter of Jonah here and just look at, it's a very familiar account, but I want to pull a few points from this story. Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a great tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmate came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think unto us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, and that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that they fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it is pleased to thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great ship to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. So here we have a story, a very familiar story. I'm sure each one of us from as far back as we probably can remember have heard this story. It's a story about Jonah, and he was asked of God to do something, but he did not want to do it. It was something that was going against his will, his own desire. His human body did not want to go and preach against a city that was full of wickedness, full of sin, and he maybe would lose his own life there. But God was asking him to do something. What kind of sticks out to me as well in this chapter is there in verse 9. He says, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven." He said, "I fear the Lord, the God of heaven." And he said that, but if you really think about this story, he must have not had a true fear, or his fear of God must have not been great enough, that he was willing to actually run away from the Lord, or try to run away from the Lord. And one point I had missed there about this story is that the Lord came to him in an audible voice, telling him to go to Nineveh. It's because it says the Lord came unto Jonah. So it was straight from God, which plays a fairly important part in this story, because it was right from God. So in today's world, we do not maybe have as much of a audible voice directly from God telling us what to do or what not to do. And so we maybe have to use a little more of the Bible and our judgment to determine where the Lord wants us to go. But here, this came directly or straight from God, to do something he did not want to do. It was something that went against his flesh, as I had said. So he got a ship, board a ship, headed in the opposite direction. How many of us here this morning do the same thing, the very same thing? No, we do not literally run away from God. We do not try to go, God calls us somewhere, we may not just run away the opposite direction. But how many of us here this morning who are called into a hard spot or something that's difficult, God is asking us to do something that we, our carnal bodies, do not want to do, turn away from God, or just refuse to listen to the voice of the Lord? But I want everybody to stop and think here this morning. When we say no to God's will and yes to our will, that is a very dangerous place to be. And that's just what struck me about this story again this morning. Jonah outright said no to God's will for his life. But yet he said he had a fear of the Lord. But I know we all here this morning believe that, we all believe that God is all powerful and holds the universe, and he's in control of everything around us. And if we say no to something, to God's will, and say yes to our will, do you see how that is a very, very difficult, a very dangerous place to be? We as small humans down here telling God no, but yet God controls the whole world. The story of Jonah here. God controlled the seas, he controlled the weather, the storms, he even controlled the fish in the sea. And God used all of those circumstances, brought them all together to teach Jonah a lesson. And the Lord was gracious this time with Jonah. He gave him a second chance. The Lord didn't always do that in the Old Testament. And so the same way here today, if we are doing our own will and outright say no to God's will, it's just a very dangerous thing to do, because God holds the universe in his hands. Tomorrow we could be driving down the road and we could be in an accident. And I feel that God has, or I know that God has control over all the circumstances around us. And it's not always sure, what he exactly brings into our lives, and what he has stopped or what he has made to happen to redirect us. just think about that. That alone should not, the fear should not be what is driving us to serve God. We should be serving him out of a willingness, but I just wanted to, but that the fear of the Lord, the God of heaven, should make us think twice. It should make us, yeah, think about what God wants us to do. We should, our service to him should be out of true love and desire for him. You can turn in your Bibles as well to Luke chapter 14. So the first story there, we looked at somebody that who did not willingly serve the Lord or give up his will. I'm sorry, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 14, verse 33 is a verse I had jotted down here that it says, "So likewise, whoso be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." It's just a verse that reemphasizes that if we're not giving all that we have, not giving up of our whole will, our wants, our desires to the Lord, the Bible verse says we cannot be his disciples. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, and I just wanted to look at Mary here, the mother of Jesus. And I just want to read a few verses from here, get a little bit of the... It's another very familiar Bible story. Starting at verse 26. "And on the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." We'll stop there. Another very familiar account, a very familiar Bible story, with a totally different feel than the first story we looked at. And the saying or the verse I want to pull out of this, or that kind of emphasizes my point here this morning, is verse 38. "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Here we see Jesus. Jesus is Mother Mary, a human just like you and I are. And I don't believe she fully understood at the time how far-reaching her commitment would be. We living 2,000 years later can still, or we get to see a larger picture, and we see what her agreeing or giving up her will here, how it benefits all humanity. But we got to remember, we are 2,000 years later, and we can see this whole picture, and we can say, well, if we would have put ourselves in her shoes, well, okay, I mean, this is a great calling, a high calling. But just stop and think how that probably affected her in her day, in her culture. She probably was disowned till the day she died by some of her, by some friends, by some relatives, because of the virgin birth. And it was a very difficult thing to go through. I mean, just put yourself in her shoes today. Would you answer and say, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Whatever you say, Lord, I'll do. Whatever you're saying, Lord, I want to be ready. I want to do that. Just a few different points. She surrendered to God's will, even though it was difficult. How tempting it could have been for her to focus on the hard things God was asking her to do. All the false accusations and misunderstandings were just the beginning of the hardship she'd face. But she said, "Let it be done to me according to thy word." Did she know how she was going to have to, that there was going to be some really dark days? Did she know that her son was going to be crucified, that she was going to watch her son die, be a very the worst kind of a death, a very low death used mainly for criminals, and it was going to be her son that was going to do this? We too need to be willing to surrender, no matter the cost, materially or even our reputation. She also surrendered to God's will, even though she didn't understand. And we see that she was not 100% sure in the first moments there when the angel came and talked to her. She did have questions, and I'm sure she pondered them. She ruled them over in her mind. She probably even prayed about them, because it does say that later on that she pondered these things in her heart. And I'm sure she didn't understand, so I'm sure she had questions. The questions may have been, "What was said to me? What does this mean? What is exactly going to happen?" And we too may have questions, and I feel that's okay. I think it's okay to have questions, but we should never question God's direction that he is leading us. It's okay to not always be sure, and to pray about it, to take it to God and say, "Lord, I'm not sure if I exactly understand where you're wanting me to go." But at the same time, we can never exactly question God and his direction in our lives. She surrendered to God's will without knowing all the details. If you had been Mary, wouldn't you have wanted someone to fill in the bigger picture? Like, when is he going to be the Son of God? And how is Joseph going to handle this? Or what's my role in this all? Where are we going? And God wouldn't have told her anyway, because he knew she couldn't handle it. The same way God works in our lives. He doesn't give up. Sometimes we may want to know the whole picture, but yet God knows that you and myself could not handle the whole picture. If he laid out the next year even, or the next 2 years or 5 years, I think we'd all become overwhelmed by everything that God is going to bring into our lives. But he just asks us to follow him one day at a time. He doesn't give us much or any facts about the future, but he just asks us and he leads us one day at a time, because we as our human bodies cannot handle being able to know everything, because it would just overwhelm us. If we're here this morning saying, "I'm only going to surrender to God's will when I have all the information," it's time to surrender our will and let him lead us one step at a time, one day at a time. Mary here, she also surrendered to God's will by faith. It always comes back to trusting God and believing that he has your best interest at heart. Faith is believing the word of God and acting upon it no matter how I feel, because God promises a good result. that's one thing that God promises. He promises that he will not take us anywhere that we're unable to go or any temptations that we're unable to bear. And he promises a good outcome if we fully surrender our will, fully give it over to him. And as we see here, that's what Mary did. First, she believed. She was who God said she was, highly favored. And Mary said, basically said, I believe you're extending grace to me. She was knowing that she was saying, God, I believe that you're going to, yeah, whatever you want, I believe that you will give me the grace and the courage to go through with it. God always keeps his word, and we can count on it, as I had said before, but I just want to reemphasize that. God will keep his word if we follow him, if we are willing to give our will to him. Two verses in 2 Corinthians, which I think I've read these verses before, but they're verses that are kind of close to my heart, or that I feel defines somewhat of the Christian life and what we're called here on this earth. It says, "What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." These bodies are a temple of the Holy Ghost. We are not our own. And the sooner we wrap our minds around that, the sooner we are okay with that, the sooner we give up our will to God, the more benefit God can get out of our earthly bodies here. We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Therefore, we need to use our bodies for his will. Turn back to Matthew chapter 26. And I just wanted to look at the ultimate example, the true example, the best example we have in the Bible here. Matthew 26, verse 36, and we're looking at Jesus here and how we know that he laid down his will in many ways that we will never be asked to lay down our will. And we need to remember that he was human just as you and I are here this morning. Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, What would ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. For he left them and went away again, and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Here Jesus was asking the undesirable to be removed. He was asking God to take away what was lying ahead. His earthly body did not want to go through with it. His earthly body, it was not something that he wanted to do. And I too feel here this morning that we have the right to tell God what our personal desires may be, what we want, what our likes, our dislikes, what our will would be. but then we must leave them there and still be open to God's will and direction in our lives. We must lay down our will. Here, Jesus was pleading, saying, Lord, I do not want to go through with this. It's not something that I want to do. He was explaining to God his personal feelings, but yet in the end he said, not my will, but thine be done. Even Jesus' own son had to lay down his will. He was called to go through so much more than we will ever be called to go through. He went to the cross carrying the sins of the world. And that alone was a struggle or a weight that I don't that none of us here this morning can even fathom what that was. And I'm in the battle of evil versus good at that point in time. And I'm sure there was a lot of temptations for Jesus to exercise his will and not to just go through with the Father's will at that point. We too this morning, we need to willingly serve God, as I had said before, but then we willingly need to give up our will. And it's that thought right there is something that I maybe haven't totally wrapped my mind around it, that we willingly, we have a will and we need to choose to serve God, but then once we've chosen to serve God, we need to let go of our will. How do I know if I am surrendered? Just a few quick points. Following God's leading without knowing where he's sending us. Just giving God a blank check, as it were, an open slate, wherever you want me to go, Lord. Waiting for God's timing without knowing when it will be. Trusting God's purpose without understanding the circumstances. And we do not always understand why we're called to where we are, but if we trust God, he will lead us through. Also, you know you are surrendered to God when you rely on God to work things out instead of trying to manipulate others, force agendas, control situations. You let go and let God work. You don't have to always be in charge. Instead of trying harder, we must trust more. In closing here, I just have a short story. It's a story behind a very familiar song that we sing. The title of the song is I Surrender All. Judson Van Deventer was raised in a Christian home. At age 17, he accepted Christ as his Savior. He graduated university with a degree in art and was employed successfully as a teacher and administrator of high school art. He traveled extensively, visited the various art galleries throughout Europe. Van Deventer also studied and taught music. He mastered 13 different instruments, sang and composed music. He was very involved in the music ministry of his Methodist Episcopal Church and eventually found himself torn between his successful teaching career and his desire to be part of an evangelistic team. The struggle within himself lasted almost 5 years. In 1896, Van Deventer was conducting the music of a church event. It was during these meetings that he finally surrendered his desires completely to the Lord. He made the decision to become a full-time evangelist. As he submitted completely to the will of his Lord, a song was born in his heart. And the title of the song is I Surrender All, and was put to music by Winfield Wenden, who published this and many other hymns in several volumes. So here, and we still have that song today, it's a song that was born out of a surrender of his will. And just in closing here, I just want to read the song as a poem. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy true love and power. Let thy blessings fall on me. All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name. Then the refrain, I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. My challenge here this morning is that our final testimony, as we sing that song, do we really know what we're saying? Do we know what we're giving up? Is it our testimony here this morning that we have surrendered all? Let's kneel together to pray.